We kind of jumped into the spirit of our morning. This is our Thanksgiving service. Our topic or subject is Lead Me to the Rock That Is Higher Than I. And, Thanksgiving, typically the tradition in our country, in our land, is to offer God thanks for the bounty of His goodness and for all the blessings that we can so richly enjoy at His hand, and say that around the table, or to just have that in mind as a gratitude. You know, the attitude of gratitude will put forward motion the things of the kingdom in your heart, whereas a complaining attitude will always kill off everything. Yeah, I'm not into the message yet. I'm just chit-chatting here for a second. Did you know that it was the first Thanksgiving? The idea behind the first Thanksgiving was to celebrate what God had done in their first harvest. There were 53 pilgrims, and they hosted 90 Native Americans. And October 1621, and that was the celebration of the first harvest. And after, they got traction with that, became to be a national holiday. And so I would like you to consider, in addition to that, thanking the Lord for the good things He does, also for the times when He's done something in your life that only He could do, that only He could carry you through. To think in terms of the things that, what He can do for you that you can't really do for yourself. I want us to dig a little deeper for our Thanksgiving ideas, and to praise Him for rescuing us, for saving us out of our mess, and our brokenness, our failures, conflicts, any kind of our confusion, because when everything is falling apart, God is your rock. When you're in over your head, God is your rock. When you're out of what you need, God is your rock. By the way, the word rock in the scriptures is 142 times. It's mentioned in the Bible. In fact, I got a few references just to lay a little foundation of Jesus being a rock. Isaiah 26:4 says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Himself is the rock eternal." Then 1 Samuel 2, verse 2, "There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God." Deuteronomy 32:4 says, look at this, "The rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is He." And then we have in our New Testament, Ephesians 2:20, it says, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone." How many of you ever heard the song, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand." It's time to have a hymn sing, isn't it? So for your first point, I want us to say, let us give thanks, for the Lord is the rock, our cornerstone. Our cornerstone. He's our foundation. He's good, solid. Every promise that the Lord has made is, He said, "My words are spirit and they're life. They're eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away." The character and personality of Jesus Christ is what we are becoming. The Lord, to be conformed into His image. It's nice to see solid rock type people. They're not rock in their rigidity. They're solid rock in their character and their pursuit of God and the values of God and things that concern expressing the love of God on the earth. That's a rock-like person, a person that's not blown away. You know, I've been putting a lot more scriptures in my spirit, man. And recently, I can get up in the morning and I'll just meditate and turn the scriptures into these first-person kind of things, like, "I am your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that you have created beforehand, that I should walk in them." And I'm talking to my own spirit. "I put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh or the lust thereof." I walk in the Spirit, and because I belong to Christ, I've crucified the passions of the lust and the desires of the flesh. You know, and that helps me. That helps me begin to navigate better in life. You know, for no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, he shall condemn. For this is a heritage, my heritage in the Lord, and my righteousness is from him. So putting the word in there, and then stuff comes, and you got that in there. It develops the character. But the word of God going in us, and Jesus Christ being our cornerstone, the things that he says, they're foundational things. They transform us on the inside. And so we want to be like that. How many have said, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. See, the eternal rock that we're talking about is the living power of the person of Jesus and the words that he's spoken, and the eternal power of that word in us. Amen? Praise the Lord. There was a time in the Old Testament where Moses had led the children of Israel, and they were to a place now they were very thirsty. They were so thirsty. Anyway, Moses had led the children of Israel, and there was no water. And there's this marvelous moment where they're complaining, and Moses turns to God and says, you know, what are we going to do here? These people are just complaining, all the time complaining. And he says, I want you to stand in front of this big rock here. I want you to take the staff that you lifted up when the sea parted, and that miracle happened. And I want you to go, and I want you to stand before that rock, and I want you to strike that rock. And he struck that rock, and water gushed out of it, just gushed out of it. And enough water for everybody, just water, 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 water. A miracle provision out of a rock. Miracle provision flows out of, and it's the picture. In fact, this was so important to the Lord, this whole picture, that because Jesus Christ is actually the rock, and the Lord is the rock that was struck. He was struck. And provision for all of mankind came pouring out. Salvation, living water, everything of the salvation of God came coming out when Jesus was struck. Strike the shepherd and scatter the sheep. But then what happens? And he's there and he's bleeding, and the salvation flows from him to all of us, and we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And everybody who comes to him and turns from their wickedness and turns from their sinfulness, turns from their just stupidity, and turns from their I'm tired of messing up kind of stuff. I need to give it all over to Jesus so I can get my head straight now. That kind of stuff. When you turn to him, he's been struck, and he's the rock that resource flows from. And it was so important to God that when it was time for the more water later, it's time for more water later, he said, I don't want you to strike it again. I just want you to speak to it. And this time, I want you to go, and I want you to stand before the Lord, and I want you to speak to the rock, and the water will come out. And Moses was angry with the people. And he didn't do what the Lord said. And he took the staff and he struck the rock again. And the water came out because God's gracious. But then he says, you know, Moses, you're not going to be able to go into the promised land because of this act of disobedience. It was that thing that was so important to him to say, you strike it once and speak the rest of the time. In fact, I have a scripture up here. It says, is it there? Next one? Yeah. It says, and all drank, look, the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. So your second fill in the blank is that this. Let's give thanks to the Lord, the rock, our resource in life. We don't come striking anymore. We come speaking. We come and speak and bring our petitions to the Lord, and he pours out the goodness of his word into our life. How many of you have been filled up with the living water of his presence? I want to mention, too, when you have the living water of his presence, it's so important to have seed in the garden of your heart. Because if you sow a seed and it goes into the garden of your heart, then you pour the water on it, and then it grows. It says a farmer goes to bed, wakes up, it doesn't know how, but it's grown. And there are things that you lack in your life. And if you'll take the word of God, sow it into your heart, worship the Lord, let his living water come on it, take a nap, get up, your confidence begins to grow in the things of God because you've sowed it into your heart. This is how it works, guys. This is how it works. That's how it works. Put it in. Speak it in. Seed sowing is speaking. Also, Moses later, we have another story. This is just such a powerful, powerful story where Moses now, he wants to actually be in God's presence. He says, you know, if you don't go with me, I'm not going on from here. You know, how many of you felt like this? Once you learn the ways of the Lord, you go, I don't want to go anywhere without you. This is not going to be good. I go anywhere without you, I'm on my own. I remember one time I was with my daughter, and I was at a movie theater, and it wasn't so much it was a terrible, terrible movie, but the Lord told me not to go in. And I went in. I don't think you remember that. Meadowbrook Mall. We're sitting there, and these guys on the row behind me wanted to get in a fight. And we left. And I told the Lord, I will never disobey you again. That was terrible. Have you ever done something stupid and pass over the check that the Holy Spirit says, no, no. It's always for your good. His presence with you is the meaning of life. I was driving back at in Camarillo. There's this place, and you go out of Ventura Highway. Anyway, you're heading over to Ventura, and you come down to Camarillo, and I was letting my foot off the gas, and the car was going, I was going 80 miles an hour, just letting my foot off the pedal. I'm flying down there. Holy Spirit goes, no. He gives me the check, and I put on the brakes, slowed down to the speed limit. The policeman goes right by. God's really a nice guy. I would have lost my license. The Holy Spirit says, you don't want to lose your license. Slow down. Being led by the Holy Spirit. So Moses is saying, I don't want to go anywhere you're not there. I don't want to go anywhere you're not there. In fact, I don't only not want to go anywhere that you're not there. I want to go where you are. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to experience you. I want to see your glory. I want to know who you are and the fullness of who you are. I just want you. And God says, you can't handle it. Now look, this is not Jesus, the angel of the Lord. This is not the pre-incarnate Jesus, the theophanies of Jesus showing up. This is a conversation with Father God. Father God dwells in unapproachable light. You can never see him or you'll die. It's just too much. And somehow Father God's making this provision for Moses to see who he is. So guess what he does? He says, you go over here to this cleft in the rock. There's a cleft in the rock. I want you to go in here, and then I'm going to pass by. And I'll let you know, and then you can look out, and you can see me after I've gone by. Because if you see my face, you'll die. So he puts him in a place. It's a refuge. It's a refuge. It's a place of refuge. That's our next fill in the blank. Let's praise the Lord because he's the rock, our refuge. Have you ever had him put you in a place of safety and protection? Well, come on, let's go. We could just give all kinds of testimonies here today. A God that gives safety and protection to us. Go ahead and flip your notes over and look on the back right quick. We were singing the song. And these are the first three verses of Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Those are beautiful words. In fact, most theologians believe that it either had to be written right before he became king or more so after he was king for a while. And the timing of this thing is probably written when Absalom, his son, third son from I can't say her name, Maka, whatever, his one of his wives there. And what happened is, you don't see a lot of good parenting, unfortunately. You see better parenting happening through Abraham than you do through David. So I think a lot of things fall on our heads. But here's the point. This is the whole issue with them. There's Tamar and Amnon are half-brother, half-sister, whatever. And Tamar is really pretty. And Amnon wants basically to have sex with his half-sister. And she doesn't want to, turns down his the passes of all that. Anyway, he traps her over at his house and rapes her. So a little time goes by, and here comes Absalom. He wants to avenge the death. I mean, he avenged the rape. So he throws a little party or whatever, and then brings Amnon over, and he murders him. He's dead. You never really hear anything from David about this, saying, I need to deal with my children. So he runs and hides for 3 years down the road, and then he starts sneaking around and coming back, and he starts to begin to talk to people. And the Bible uses these words. He says, he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. He would come and flatter and things, but he would say, I will give better justice, and I will be a better judge, and I will do the things that he's not doing, his own father. And so now he's beginning to cause there to be more people rise up. Let me just go ahead and say, there ain't no conflict like family conflict. And we're coming up into the holidays. And there's tensions and things can happen with unresolved issues. And these unresolved issues caused David to feel overwhelmed. And what happened is he rose up against him, and there's some interesting flow of events that all happened here, because now Absalom is now in Jerusalem and David is on the run and he's away. And when it says the words, from the end of the earth, I will call you when my heart is faint. He's not back in Jerusalem. He's lost location being there. He's not only far away from where he's supposed to be, he's far away emotionally from where he's supposed to be. Have you ever experienced that? Being far away from where you know you, there's no peace. It says from the ends of the earth. He's like emotionally distant. He's emotionally distant. He's physically distant. He's crying out. That's why they think this poetry fits this situation best. Then there's basically two different people that come to give him advice. There's an incredible verse in here that says God you usurped the opinion of one person and gave Hushai's opinion to Absalom, and that God could intend harm to Absalom because he was doing the wrong thing. He was rising up and taking over and declaring himself to be king and kicking David out. And David loves his son, and David wouldn't take up a hand on his own against him. But it's this kind of a tension and this kind of a struggle on the inside. And this is the text. This is the passionate hurt that's going on inside of this text here. This is what everybody has tasted a little bit of. If you've had the friction in family and things that have crisis at home, this is the kind of thing that touches everybody at one time or another. This is why this prayer can be so important to us, because David can't make anything happen on his own terms. He can't make it happen. Have you been in that place? Somebody said against you and you can't change it. You can't do a thing. This is the prayer. Hear my cry. Oh God, hear me. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. Now turn it back over to where your notes are, because I want us to look at one little thing. I just wanted to write down a couple of these things that just put down Absalom there on the bottom of your notes. I want us to consider something there. It says, ability without integrity leads to tragedy. Ability without integrity leads to tragedy. That's your little word of wisdom for today. That if you don't have righteousness and peace and the things of the Lord guarding and leading your life, then it doesn't matter how much skill you have. It's going to take you down, take somebody else down with you. Is that right? And mostly, I found this little point, I think I would put this in every behavior problem is an identity problem and an unbelief problem. Chew on that for just a second. Because when you don't know who you are, you end up behaving badly. When you don't know who you are and who you belong to, you have bad behavior. And here's the other thing, and I'm just amazing. When so many bad things have happened to so many people at such an early level in life, they're so their identity is skewed, and they have terrible beliefs about who they are. They don't believe that they're loved from God, and they act out their whole life. Whole life goes by. The bad behavior is based on, I have no idea. I was not loved. I just led somebody in prayer just the other day. Horrible, left forsaken in so many ways. Depression, all kinds of anxiety, all kinds of things entered. Deep feelings of loneliness because of this same kind of thing that David wasn't there for his kids when he needed them. He wasn't there. Sometimes parents are not there for you when you need it. And stuff begins to crop up in your life. And these things don't go right. And it begins to form an image of yourself. And you just make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision based on a lack. Somebody did not oversee and help you develop correctly. And this is what happened with Absalom. And his abilities were great, but his integrity was lacking. And it turned into a family tragedy. And his evil behavior was so bad, he didn't know who he was. Are you there? And in the midst of this, now turn it back over on the other side. This is what this does to the heart. This is the word. This is the Hebrew word, atav, I guess you'd say. It's the primitive root. It means to shroud, to clothe. Hence, this from the idea of darkness, to languish, to cover over, fail, faint, feebler, hide self, be overwhelmed, swoon. The shroud means to wrap or clothe for a burial. This is how bad he was emotionally. He was so distraught. He says, I feel like my whole heart is wrapped up, ready for burial. I am gone. I am done. I am overwhelmed. My heart, this is the word faint. This is the word faint. My heart is faint. I feel. And to languish means to become weak or feeble. Droop, to fade, to lose vigor or vitality, to suffer hardship and distress. So David is in a state of absolute languish and sadness. And the upshot of this thing goes like this. Absalom ends up on the run. He's got long hair. Long hair. He's on a donkey and he's trying to get away from soldiers. It's all falling apart for Absalom. Everything's falling apart. The plan went awry. And David told everybody, don't kill him. Don't kill him. And here he is. Absalom's going along the road and there's some tree branches. And his hair gets caught in the tree branches and now the donkey went on and he's hanging there. He's hanging there suspended just above his feet, I suppose. He can't get down. His hair is caught in a branch. That's crazy. And Joab, who had it out for him, who was the commander-in-chief of David's armies, did not obey David. And he came and he ran through, and he ran Absalom through, and there was death. And David's grief was so great that he disheartened the army. And they thought, well, wait a minute, we won this thing for you. And they were all hard. They were like grieved that he was so grievous that they didn't get the victory. We got the victory. What are you looking for? And finally, everybody got it back together again when he rebuked Joab. I told him he shouldn't have done that. And everybody was back to peace again. Man, is that a family crisis or what? Do you have your story? Do you have a story when the bottom fell out of everything? Some of you in different ways. There's just this you feel like I'm going to swoon and it ain't in a good way. I feel like dropping dead. I feel I'm overwhelmed. I feel like the things have dropped. The whole bottom of my life has dropped out. And this is what David's asking. And this is what's buried into this thing. It says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And it's basically saying this. I can't get there on my own. I can't make it. I don't have the ability to get to where I need to be. I'm done. I'm done. I'm over. I'm over. And unless you pick me up and you put me there, I won't make it. And that's the God we serve. He sees when life, your heart is exploded with anguish and you're gone and you don't want to live anymore and it's over and everything you thought you were about is just gone down the drain. A divorce, a financial setback, a death in the family, harmful things, painful things. Someone just sets themselves against you, and you just feel like you've fallen apart. But there was a time that David remembered that God had been his refuge. And he says, if you lift me up, if you take me where I can't get on my own, then I know that I'll be in a safe place because you have always been for me a strong tower against my enemies. How many of you found sometimes your own heart is your worst enemy? And that's when you turn to the Lord and he says, I'm going to take everything that's gone wrong because you have cried out to me. I'm going to lead you to the safe place that's higher than you can get on your own. I think I have several of those in my life. And I want us to focus our time of Thanksgiving, not as I'm roasting and not as telling horror stories or war stories, but say, when I was out of it in this way, God intercepted me and I cried out to him and he came and he rescued me. This is what we're going to do in a few moments is we're going to invite you to come down and take a moment. You want to tell about that part, honey? Come on, honey.
This part. Wow. That was amazing. I bet you there's not one of you who could just say, bring right to mind one of those moments when life was just, you were overwhelmed. And we're so grateful for you, Lord. You're going up top, right? We wanted you to have a memento today to take with you. Perhaps maybe you can do whatever you'd like with it, put it in your Bible. And we have some more for you out on the foyer table as you lead. But maybe put one on your Thanksgiving table just to remind you of how good he is and how thankful you are for all that he has done in your life. And then as we sing this song, we've prepared for you a rock with Psalm 61 on it. Those of you who've been around here for 25 years, you might have a couple of rocks tucked away, but they've always come at the opportune time. And we believed as we prayed for this service that this rock would lead you today and through the holiday out of the place of being overwhelmed, and that you would rest your life once again on the only rock of your salvation, Jesus Christ. For a moment while you have that rock in your hand and you're singing the song, and then we'll dismiss you all together at the end. Is that a good thing? Great. Thank you.
When my heart is overwhelmed, hear my cry, give heed to my prayer, and my dim with tears, oh Father, make them clear from the ends of all. my heart is fainting, let me know that you have heard. Not lead me to safety. That's higher. Oh, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Lead me to the rock that's higher. That's higher than I. You, O Lord, have been for me a refuge from my enemies. Let me live within your strength, in the shelter of your wings. From the end of all the earth, oh, when my is fainting, let me know that you have heard. Let's sing together. Lead me to safety, and lead me to the rock that's higher. Lord, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. The rock that's higher, that's higher than I. Lord, lead me to the rock that's higher. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Oh, lead me to the rock that's higher, higher than I. Higher than I. Higher than I.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Can you praise Him? Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We give you glory and honor.
Hallelujah.
And praise. And we thank you for the as we step over the threshold into the Christmas season, Lord. We start it the right way with great thankfulness to you. And Lord, we are so blessed to be called your children. And if there's anyone here who doesn't know our wonderful Father, please don't leave here today without giving us the privilege of introducing him to you. There are some people down here to pray for you. And I would say that you could be very confident that they would hold in their hearts the trust of whatever you would want to share and release off of your heart. So if there is something that is overwhelming you and you don't sense a release, please come and share that with someone here in the front, and we'll agree with you that the rock, Jesus, is trustworthy, and you can lay that before him. Don't walk into this Christmas season being overwhelmed in the name of Jesus, but being released. Amen? So we will release you now to go or come for prayer. And remember, what time will we see you next week? Great.